It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, it is, holy cow, it is 1904 UTC. I tell you what, I tried to go ahead and eat lunch before the show. And you know, it's always been a problem. It rarely ever works out, but I was really hungry. So I said, I'll eat before news to me and then the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope that comes up at 1930 UTC every day. And well, wouldn't you know, timing is tough. And even though I put down my fork at 1900 UTC, by the time I get to my desk, launch Mix, launch all the software, get everything pulled up, 5 minutes have flown by. Anyway, hello, welcome, one and all. Big shout out to Claudio M, and Publius, and Stug, and everybody else hanging out. So, hello, I am live now. We'll see. We'll have to keep track and see how late I can be before people disappear. But anyway, big shout out to everyone that's in comm. Thank you for being here. It is Monday. And if you know anything about Mondays, that means death and destruction, baby.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
And just as a reminder,
it's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
And it's kind of the attitude a lot of countries take on different things in the world. So our news stories might reflect that. So let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start, and that, my friends, is with the world.
World news.
So first off, the boy stuck in the well. He's not stuck in the well anymore. He's also not alive. Rayan, Morocco holds funeral for 5-year-old who died trapped in a well. Hundreds of Moroccans have gathered to pay their last respects to little Rayan, the 5-year-old boy who died after being trapped in a well for 4 days. Rayan Orman fell down the 32-meter well on February 1st, prompting painstaking efforts to rescue him. The rescue effort garnered media attention worldwide. Hundreds of mourners attended his funeral on Monday in his home village where the tragedy unfolded. There were so many people that they could not all fit in the hilltop cemetery and prayer site in the northern Rift Mountains. I'm over 50 years old, and I've never seen as many people in a funeral. Rayan is the son of us all, one villager told Reuters. There's several photos of different mourners all over the country and overrunning the cemetery. When the boy was finally pulled from the well on Saturday evening, his apparent rescue was initially met with cheers from crowds by the well. But this turned to heartbreak minutes later when it was announced that the rescue was too late and that Rayan had died. The rescue mission had been watched across the world, and soon after death was announced, tributes poured in. Social media, where the hashtag Save Rayan had been trending, people expressed their sympathy and sadness. Morocco's King Mohammed VI called the parents of the boy and offered them his deepest condolences. Pope Francis, while expressing his sadness, praised the beautiful way people had worked together to save the child. Players and fans at Sunday's Africa Cups of Nations in Cameroon held a moment of silence in tribute to Rayan. Rayan's father, Khaled Aram, had been preparing the well when the boy fell in. The mixture of rocky and sandy soil at the site meant rescuers deemed opening the water well's narrow shaft to be too dangerous. Instead, bulldozers were used to cut a huge trench next to the well. Oh my gosh. Yeah, real painful there. I'm going to share in comm a link, infographic. So there's a nice little infographic with the story that shows the well, where the boy was trapped, and how deep and big a huge earth excavation project this was. You can see it at sdf.org/L/HS. That's sdf.org/L/Lima/HS, like Hotel Sierra. So L/HS. So yeah, it's just very it's just an amazing effort, and you know, even when you try your hardest, sometimes you still lose. So it's kind of a bummer. Don't worry, there's more destruction. Cyclone Batsirai kills at least 6 in Madagascar. On Sunday, the town of Mangere, east coast of Madagascar, was heavily affected by tropical cyclone Batsirai, which hit the island with gusts of up to 235 kilometers an hour. Many homes were destroyed and flooded. Residents now implore the state to help them. Destruction sceneries is what Cyclone Batsirai left behind, as heavy rain and howling winds hit Madagascar. On Sunday, more than 20,000 people had been counting as displaced, and 6 had died. Coastal area residents, like Mangere District inhabitant Amanda, now try to survive. We are in great difficulty. The people of Mangere need help, not temporary help like food that you spend in one day. We need things we can use in the long term, a shelter, corrugated iron for the houses. On Saturday, Batsirai made landfall in Mangere District, which is located southeast of the capital. It reached the island with packing winds of 165 kilometers per hour. The National Disaster Management Agency has already put in place rescue plans, and it possesses accommodation sites, food, and medical care ready for victims. Cyclone weakened overnight, but floods were still expected due to heavy rain after it hit eastern Madagascar. So you feel really terrible for people, especially after these kind of big storms, because in the U.S. we've got FEMA and other different big organizations. Lots of people are still left living in slums or in asbestos-filled trailers and stuff, formaldehyde-filled trailers. But they're not just given some food and told good luck. Ugh, it's really tough there. Well, how about some good news? What?
Resistance is futile.
Yeah, you shouldn't have got your hopes up. But here's the thing. Remember the oil tanker or the oil ship that exploded off the coast of Nigeria? Well, guess what? They didn't all die. 7 crew members on board an oil vessel that exploded in Nigeria's Niger Delta region last Wednesday are still missing after 3 were found. So they found 3 of them. Ikemfuna Okafor, the executive officer of Sheba Exploration and Production Company Limited, added that one dead body was discovered in the vicinity, but it was not immediately clear if it was of a crew member. Because, you know, it could have just been anybody's body. Welcome, X1. Welcome, welcome. Efforts to locate the remaining crew members, clean up and limit damage to the environment, and establish the cause of the explosion were ongoing. Following the incident, the Nigerian government has announced that it is considering the possibility of a merger with the United States, with just the whole United States, to create a new company to take over the management of the oil tanker, the company said. FPSOs are floating units that produce and store oil or natural gas from offshore platforms. 10 crew members were on board at the time of the incident. Okafor said, "Our joint efforts are aimed at establishing the location, safety, and security of the 7 crew members still missing, cleaning up and limiting environmental damage, and establishing the cause." So, we'll see what goes on or what happens here, but, hey, they've only found 3 bodies, so the other 7, they might still be alive. Maybe. Well, let's look at some political stuff, where there's less death. It's a reprieve. Tunisia's police lock doors of legal body and stop staff from entering. Tunisian police have locked the doors of the Supreme Judicial Council and stopped staff from entering the building a day after President Kais Saied dissolved it. The move on Monday came after Tunisian judges rejected his decision to disband the council that oversees them, raising fears about the independence of the judiciary amid growing concerns over his consolidation of power. Publius letting us know here, Nigeria has 36 states, so a merger with the U.S. would bring us up to 86, which is cool. that would be rather interesting. good one. So, yeah, we're kind of in trouble here. Saied kind of thinks of himself as like a constitutional lawyer and someone who really understands the constitution of the country. So him dissolving the judicial body and saying, "Oh, I'm the best interpreter of the Constitution out of anybody," is a little troubling. Is more troubling than not. Saied rejects the coup allegations and is pledged to uphold rights and freedoms won in the country's 2011 revolution that introduced democracy. His critics, however, say he is leaning increasingly on security forces and fear he will take a harsher stance against dissent. The conflict between the judges and the president seems far from over, Al Jazeera's Eliza Volkman, reporting from Tunis, said. So, we'll keep an eye out on Tunis, but or on Tunisia, but it was looking bad again. Well, how about some more good news, or goodish news? French president says he's reasonably optimistic as high-state talks with Russia's Putin kick off in Moscow. So this is pretty exciting. EU Foreign Ministry Chief Joseph Borrell has said that Europe is going through its most dangerous moment since the Cold War amid fears of Russian invasion of Ukraine. The statement came as French President Emmanuel Macron held talks in Moscow with Russian President Vladimir Putin in the highest-profile intervention yet by a Western leader to ease the crisis. Now, you'll note, he went to Moscow to have these talks. They're not doing a video call. Meanwhile, a Russian-backed separatist leader in eastern Ukraine said a full-scale war could break out in the region at any time in an interview with Reuters. The concentration of 100,000 Russian soldiers and military equipment near the border has spurred Western fears that Moscow may be planning an attack. Russia denies it and has accused the United States and NATO of undermining the region's security. It wants NATO to bar Ukraine and other Soviet nations from membership and pull back forces. Washington and NATO have rejected Russia's demand as non-starters. So, very, very exciting news to hear that that France may be coming in and saving the world, really, from a gnarly war. So, within an hour ago, EU's top diplomat, Europe is in most dangerous moment. That was what we just got that quote from. A little more than an hour ago, at 1750 GMT, Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, had warned Moscow against trying to split Kyiv from its Western allies. I've been seeing more and more people saying Kyiv instead of Kyiv. It's K-Y-I-V, and I've always said Kyiv, but on the news they keep saying Kyiv. I'm not sure which is right. No one, no matter how hard anyone tries in Russia, will be able to drive a wedge between Ukraine and its partners, Kuleba said at a press conference with his German counterpart, Annalena Baerbock, in Kyiv. We have jointly prepared a series of tough measures against Russia for this eventuality. The sanctions are unprecedented and have been coordinated and prepared with all partners. So, yeah, that's kind of what's going on right there. It's a big news story. It's constantly on TV. But just in case you mostly get your news from and on radio, this might be something you don't hear. So that's a heads up there. There is a brilliant picture here. I'm going to post this in com of President Macron and President Putin meeting each other. All right, putting it in here as big table, big talks. You can find that at sdf.org/l/ht. So that's /Lima/handy talkie, Hotel Tango. So sdf.org/l/ht. All lowercase, all together there with the slashes. And it's a really stark picture. But you have Putin at one end and Macron at the other. And the table is probably, 12 feet long? It's more than two grown men could lay on it end to end, and there'd still be room. So it's like a giant thing. But yeah, as you're right, Publius, social distancing. So that's going on. So a number of summit meetings are being held on Monday to try and find a peaceful solution to the crisis over Ukraine. Macron is holding high-stakes talks with Putin in Moscow, while German Chancellor Olaf Scholz is in Washington to meet Joe Biden following the latest development. You can follow the latest developments live at France 24. They're keeping a close eye on it because they're in France. So they're big pro-Macron in this kind of thing. So anyway, check that out if you want live up-to-dates on this. Canada trucker protest. What? Oh, man.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I'll just tell this. Canada trucker protest. Ottawa declares emergency. The mayor of Canada's capital, Ottawa, has declared a state of emergency in a response to more than a week of truckers' protests against COVID restrictions. Jim Watson said the city was losing this battle and completely out of control. He added protests pose a threat to residents' safety. There have been also reports of racial attacks. Ottawa's city center has been paralyzed, with vehicles and tents blocking roads. Protesters have since gathered in central Ottawa near Parliament Hill, and their demands have grown to include ending all such mandates nationwide and opposing the government of Justin Trudeau. Speaking to Canadian radio television or radio station, Mr. Watson, CFRA, Mr. Watson said the protesters were behaving increasingly insensitively by continuously blaring horns and sirens, setting off fireworks, and turning it into a party. So, it's looking bad. Hopefully, they can address their concerns while also clearing it out. You shouldn't... occupying a whole city is kind of looking a little sketchy there. Let's play a song. We'll reset. But yeah, it's the city is in a state of emergency because of all of the people there. There's thousands and thousands of people, and they've kind of just taken over the city. If I can find a picture, I'll share it, but it's a bit wild. So I've got a Modest Mouse song for you. It's called The World at Large. It's a song that I like, but it's 4 minutes, so we might cut it short.
Ice age heat wave can't complain. If the world's at large, why should I remain? Walked away to another plant. Gonna find another place, maybe one I can stand. I move on to another day, to a whole new town with a whole new way. Went to the porch to have a thought. Got to the door and again I couldn't stop. You don't know where and you don't know when, but you've still got your words and you've got your friends. Walking on to another day. Work a little harder, work another way. Well, baby, I ain't got no plan. I'll float on, maybe, would you understand? Gonna float on, maybe, would you understand? Well, I'll float on, maybe, would you understand? Shorter and the nights get cold. I like the autumn, but this place is getting old. I pack my belongings and I head for the coast. It might not be a lot, but I feel like I'm making the most. The days get longer and the nights smell green. I guess it's not surprising, but it's spring and I should leave. Songs about drifters, books about the same. They both seem to make me feel a little less insane. Walked on off to another spot. I still haven't gotten anywhere that I want. Did I want love? Did I need to know? Why does it always feel like I'm caught in an undertow? To death against the lights, adding the breeze to the summer nights. Outside water like air was great. I didn't know what I had that day. Walk a little farther to another plan. You said that you did, but you didn't understand. Starting over's not what life's about, but my thoughts were so loud I couldn't hear my mouth. My thoughts were so loud I couldn't hear my mouth. My thoughts were so loud.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, Well, that's powered by you. So thank you for being tuned in and hanging out here. Yeah, thanks a lot. At 19:30 UTC coming up here in just about 7 minutes, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is always a blast. Please stick around and tune in for that. Yeah, so there's not a lot of middle ground here for me. I am just taking deep breaths and trying to roll with it. Big news, Senegal won the Africa Cup of Nations in a shootout versus Egypt. And so it was very exciting game to watch. And I never knew what they did for like overtime and stuff like that. And so if you didn't know football, they play and there's stoppage time, which is the time when they were pausing for different things. Because there's no like timeout or anything, but when they stop for like somebody getting hurt or something, they keep track of all that time, and that's their stoppage time, it looks like. And then after that, if nobody does time stops, Publius says in all caps, then what happens? Oh, then they do a shootout where they each team gets a guy to go to a certain spot, and they kick the ball at the net. And they get 5 shots. And whoever has the most goals after the end of it, they're the winner. And if it's still tied, well, then it's just a tie, I think, is how it works. I don't know. But anyway, way to go. Senegal won. Egypt did not. All right. Okay. Let's go ahead and get back into it. Well, we've still got a little bit of sports. If you weren't aware, the Winter Olympics are going on in China right now. And China has several U.S.-born or other international golden goal rules occur then, says Stug. If you can tell me what that means, I will be happy to repeat it back out. And Tobe says no. Okay. All right. So, U.S.-born Chinese figure skater Beverly Zhu broke down on the ice after she fell twice at the Olympics on Monday. She's been getting abused on Chinese social media for bad performance. And I just wanted to call out that there are some young people competing in the Olympics, and the amount of pressure they're under and the reactions they're having, it's really tough. So, if you're looking around and your Olympics news is all cheery and full of happy people, go do some more research, some more, because there's lots of sad news for you to consume too. All right, well, this is in the negative space.
That's correct.
Iraq's parliament indefinitely postpones presidential elections. Stug lets us know. Penalties continue until one team scores, and that's the golden goal rule occurs then, which is what we would call sudden death in the United States, I believe. And Publius is letting us know, renouncing your U.S. citizenship in order to compete for China, then not winning, is not a very smart move. Yeah, famous punishments for people who do not bring glory to their nation. All right. Iraq's parliament on Monday indefinitely postponed a scheduled vote for the republic's president after most major political blocs boycotted the session. The sweeping no-show deepens a political crisis in the war-scarred country, which almost 4 months after a general election still has not chosen a prime minister. Assembly vote had been set for noon for the head of state, a post with a 4-year mandate held by convention by a member of Iraq's Kurdish minority and currently occupied by Barham Saleh. But a series of boycotts calls had made it unlikely the 329-seat parliament in Baghdad's high-security green zone would be able to clinch the necessary 2/3 quorum. Then on Monday afternoon, with only a few dozen MPs in the chamber, an official speaking on condition of anonymity confirmed to AFP there will be no vote to elect the president. The turmoil comes after October polls were marred by record low turnout, post-election threats and violence, and a delay of several months until final results were confirmed. Intense negotiations among political groups since then have failed to form a majority parliamentary coalition to name a new prime minister to succeed Mustafa al-Kadhimi. The largest parliamentary bloc to emerge from the vote, led by powerful Shiite Muslim cleric Muqtada Sadr and holding 73 seats, was first to announce a boycott. So, it is not looking so great. Surprise, surprise, the United States managed to destroy another country. All right, more China news for you. We've only got a few minutes, seconds even, really. China restored, or the censors in China have restored the original Fight Club ending. So the Chinese streaming platform Tencent Video has restored the original ending to the film Fight Club after it amended the Chinese edition to tell viewers the police had rapidly figured out the whole plan and arrested all the criminals. The reversal of the anarchist denouement, some French word, I'm sorry, to the 1998 hit film, made international headlines last month. We even talked about it here. So they put it back. Good job. And in Tunisia, the last story here, Tunisia, a bladeless wind converter has been invented. A Tunisian engineer has created the first bladeless wind converter to generate wind energy. It can also be used to pump water and serve as a compressor for air conditioning. The inventor, known as Safonian, or the zero-blade wind converter, peculiar way of working. Instead of rotating, the converter follows a back-and-forth three-dimensional knot motion that is directly converted.